Protestant numbers in the south of Ireland were declining since 1830. I think they were declining in the context of what I was talking about earlier, the abandonment of privileges imposed on Irish society by British rule. Catholic Emancipation, 1829. Abolition of tithes in the late 1830s, early 1840s. Ecclesiastical Titles Act, I think 1833. And then the ending of the Church of Ireland's position as the established church, 1869-71. All of those things had the effect of lessening colonial privileges. Also the decline in the power of the landlords as well had an effect, there being less opportunity for employment, because a lot of landlords had a specific policy of employing only Protestant employees. That accelerated during the course of the first two decades of the 20th century, and you saw a big exit at the start of the period of Irish independence after the treaty in 1921. So large numbers left because they lost employment. They also didn't fancy living in a country with a predominantly Catholic ethos. They also had the opportunity of going to other parts of the empire and had opportunities in the empire and contacts through the empire, and left for those reasons, because they saw themselves as having more opportunities in those places. The continuing decline of the Protestant population up to about 1960 has something to do with the Catholic atmosphere in Irish society, has a lot, I think, to do with the Nehemiah Decree of the Catholic Church, which is brought in 1908, which is a product of the Vatican State rather than the Irish state. It imposed on Protestant communities the idea that they should keep separate from Catholics, because if anybody in a Protestant community married out, the children would be lost to that community. So from the point of view of maintaining the community, it was a reasonable thing to do. It created a kind of a social separation and a cultural separation. I think there's a lot of factors which are involved in the decline of the Protestant population, but I don't think overt intimidation by the forces who created the state in 1920-21 are part of the equation, but certainly the conservative atmosphere in Irish society post-1922 may be part of it.
We have two states in Ireland, and our thesis is that both of them are sectarian states in a way. One of them is a Protestant, one of them is Catholic. What do you make of that? Are they equal but opposite, or are they qualitatively different?
The borders of both states and in the country reflect the majority areas of the two communities that found themselves at war. Whether that then equates to a kind of a relativism is a kind of a difficult question. I mean, if you compare the treatment of both minorities in both states, there's some obvious differences. Protestants are treated better in the south than Catholics are in the north. One reason for that might be that the Republican tradition is more progressive than the Unionist tradition, and it sees itself as in some ways a non-sectarian, anti-imperialist kind of political tradition. But my own view would be that perhaps a stronger explanation for the difference between the minorities in the two countries would be just looking at the numbers on the ground. Protestants in the south were such a small minority that they never represented a military or even a political threat to southern nationalism after partition. They put their heads down by and large and got on with things, and they were treated reasonably well, and they retained quite a lot of economic privileges. Whereas, you know, the problem with the north obviously was that the Catholics represented such a large minority, around a third, that they right from the outset represented a threat to the existence of that state. And that threat, again, right from the outset, was reinforced by the Southern IRA and the Civil War, which threatened to destabilise things in the north. So, you know, there are pretty important contextual differences, I think, between the two minorities in the two states, you know, for both practical reasons and also, I think, ideological ones.
One of the first senators appointed in court was Benjamin Hahn, who was a Protestant member of the Harbour Commission. I think he was Quaker. He was appointed senator in 1922. You don't see a similar kind of accommodation, I think, with the minority population up north at the outset that you saw down here. That's not to say that the Irish state didn't become very Catholic and the church basically got a stranglehold in the state, because it did. But I don't think that you can lay that necessarily at the hand of the Republican movement. Keep in mind that the church was pretty violently opposed to the Republicans during the Civil War, as in the anti-treaty faction. And even during the War of Independence, the church would have been, at least the hierarchy would have been, a little cautious about what was happening. So I don't think they're quite the same.
Conservative Catholicism that came into our society through the 1920s and 1930s was a means of social control, mainly of Catholics. It wasn't directed to Protestants. Mm-hmm. Ironically, to an extent you could say it suited a lot of the Protestant business class, because it kept out radical ideas. And radical ideas, if there had been more an equal distribution of land, if there had been any attempt at a socialist revolution in Ireland, would have a disadvantaged the wealthy more, and more of the wealthy were Protestants. So to a certain extent, you could argue that the social control of Catholics by their own hierarchy and the conservatism that was induced to a certain extent suited that part of the ruling class, which was Protestant. The Northern State, when it consolidated, there were attempts to bring Catholics into the structures of the Northern State. For instance, there was a liaison body set up to try and ease Catholics into the new RUC. But at its first meeting, the RUC arrived and attacked and arrested some of the Catholic members. The RUC, as it was formed, were highly suspicious of the old RIC. That's why they didn't want the old RIC, because a lot of the old RIC were composed of Catholics. Some of the Catholics who stayed on in the RUC found their position increasingly uncomfortable. Essentially, the Northern Ireland state became an apartheid state. It didn't become an apartheid state because Catholics withdrew their loyalty or refused to participate. They refused to participate because there was no place for them. In the Northern Ireland press in the 1920s and 30s, there were campaigns to out Catholics working within the civil service and other areas. Belfast Corporation was about to give a job to an engineer at one stage, to an Englishman. Then they found out he was married to a Catholic and withdrew the job. Unionist politicians boasted to their constituents that they never employed Catholics. Ever would. So I think there's a difference between the North and the South in that context. Anti-Catholicism was built into the ideology of unionism.